It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Tomorrow, Mark Zuckerberg will do a live Q&A with regular people from around the world. And if you want to know where it'll be, this should give you a hint.
That's not me making that noise. It's the mask. Here, listen.
You'd have to have been on a major internet quarantine to have missed the most watched Facebook Live video ever, featuring Candace Payne of Texas. Her joyful bit on a new Chewbacca mask she had just bought is now sitting around 156 million views on Facebook. Zuckerberg's video, live though it may be tomorrow, will also be a lot less impromptu. Here's Ben Schechter, analyst at Macquarie. He says it's a way for Zuck to talk to the masses.
I think this is much more sort of democratic in a way, in allowing others to get on that wouldn't normally have a chance to talk to him.
Facebook Live today. Tomorrow, maybe a Q&A on Oculus virtual reality. While Zuckerberg is on Facebook, a new regular book is hitting the shelves tomorrow. It takes a big, broad look at the global impact of Uber, Airbnb, and many more of the disruptive forces that are impacting economies of all sizes. The book is called The Sharing Economy, The End of Employment, and the Rise of Crowd-Based Capitalism. Arun Sundarrajan is NYU Professor of Information Operations and Management Sciences, also the author of the book. Arun, thanks for chatting with us.
Delighted to be on the show, Ben.
So your book talks about the cause and effect of this new sharing economy, and part of what's caused this change has to be technology, right?
Yep. So it centers largely around what's caused this wave of crowd-based capitalism, which is the digital trust infrastructure, mobile, GPS-enabled technologies.
One of the biggest problems with the sharing economy is what it does to traditional relationships between the worker and the company, right? The trade-off for workers is more freedom for less protection. You talk about what you call the new social safety net in your book. Is this a nationalized benefits program?
Well, it's a benefits program of sorts that will be provided by some combination of the individual institutions and the government. I don't think that we're going to move to a nationalized government's benefit program. I think we're going to have to keep a partnership model. I see the advent of the sharing economy as being fundamentally empowering to individuals. It transitions the role of an individual from being a provider of labor and towards being an owner of a small slice of the means of production.
Sure.
It's just that we've created this great infrastructure of protection and the social safety net for the old model of full-time employment, and we're going to have to reinvent it and reconstruct it.
Overall, it sounds like you're pretty optimistic about the sharing economy.
Yeah, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I see that there are definitely risks associated with the sharing economy, and some of the corrections that you've made for the old model are no longer apply. And it's up to us as a society to make sure that we put in place the right policy that ensures that we reinvent regulation and construct this new social safety net.
Arun Sundarrajan, his new book is called The Sharing Economy, The End of Employment and the Rise of Crowd-Based Capitalism. Arun, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, Ben. Always a pleasure.
Last week, a somewhat mysterious announcement was made by the FAA. A handful of six different dates in June, according to the Federal Aviation Administration, would see a big swath of outages for GPS in the California-Nevada desert. The global positioning system helps us drive our cars, our phones, our planes, and more these days. It was built by the U.S. military, uses a bunch of satellites, and is now used around the world as the navigation standard for a lot of tech. Are these military tests? Conspiracies abound. We called up GPS nerd Kyle Weens, co-founder of the free repair manual site iFixit. So Kyle, we all use GPS all the time, but the military really relies on it, right?
The military heavily uses GPS. They've spent billions and billions of dollars over the years to develop it, and just about all major military systems have GPS built into them. So all of the tanks, any armored vehicle that's moving around has a GPS receiver in it, all of the drones that they fly.
What might the impact be on the American Southwest for these outages?
Yeah, well, this is interesting. The FAA is putting out a notice to civil aviation saying, hey, watch out and don't expect your GPS to work. Now, that's not necessarily a problem for planes. I mean, you know, these pilots have GPS navigation systems, but they also have lots of fallback navigation systems too. Where this is more likely to maybe screw somebody up is if you're driving out in Eastern California and you're depending on your GPS, that might stop working and you and your car might not have a backup system like a pilot in a plane would.
Better get that old map out and unfold it.
Exactly.
Can we guess at all at what the military is testing here?
Yeah, so I don't think they're actually testing jammers. I think the military knows how to jam GPS very well. I mean, they built the system. They know how to jam the system.
Right.
What I think they're doing is they're testing systems that can defeat the jamming.
Unjammers.
Exactly. And so these are systems kind of similar to the noise-canceling headphones that you'd have where they would detect incoming jamming signals and they would offset that signal to allow the GPS signal to get through.
The Naval Academy is teaching students these days to navigate by the stars again, basically, I guess, having a skill set that lets you rely on alternatives to technology. Do you think this is necessary?
I think so. As we build more and more complex technologies, there's more and more ways that they can fail. When we invaded Iraq, the Iraqi military actually used GPS jammers against the U.S. military to try to stop the equipment. So it's possible for this equipment to get jammed or to get hacked, and so having fallbacks is important.
Spoken like a true co-founder of the website iFixit, Kyle Weens. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, we posted the FAA's statement, brief though it was, at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.